Last year I did a class, we started at 1 o'clock, and apparently 1 o'clock it is. Some things cannot be changed. Okay, so let me explain to you, first of all, what's going to happen in this series. And what I would like to say is that I will respond to questions that you type periodically with words. In other words, if you type me a question, I will try and respond in my talk as opposed to typing an answer so that everybody will be able to hear it. This is a series of classes, and Yonah Mashiach Ugu'ula. The model is really Rambam. That's what we're going to be doing for the most part. You'll see that obviously there are many quotes from Sichas, but this is a series that is a compilation and a condensation of many of the Sichas of the Rebbe that revolve around the Rambam's Hilchas Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph and Perek Yud Beis, which the Rambam, which in some texts of Rambam is actually called Hilchas Malachim U'Melchames U'Melech HaMashiach, Hilchas Melech HaMashiach. That's going to be the topic. Now, if you take a look at the handout, you'll see that it's divided up into 14 sections. Each section has quotes, which is a combination of Rambam and Sichas developing another idea. The first is wanting Mashiach, Mechakel Lebiyosei. The second is Geula. The third is Mashiach. The significance of sections 2 and 3 would be that the Rebbe always used the expression Mashiach or Geula, or Geula and Mashiach. We made a point of dividing it up into two so that you can appreciate how they're two separate things. So section 2 is Geula, section 3 is Mashiach. Then section 4 is Mashiach's function, that means what Mashiach does to become Mashiach, or to do what Mashiach does. Section 5 is the idea that Mashiach is a halacha, the Mashiach has to be a physical person and it can't be something metaphysical. Section 6 is based entirely on Sichas. If you have the, I guess I should scroll down here so you'll see what I'm reading. So section 6 says three aspects, Torah, Nevuah, and Mitzvah. The Rebbe develops the Rambam on these three levels. There's an aspect of Mashiach connected to Torah. There's an aspect of Mashiach connected to Nevuah. There's an aspect of Mashiach connected to Mitzvahs. And the advantage of all three, when we get to it, you'll understand. Section 7 is about the idea of whether Mashiach comes naturally or miraculously, which is based on, as the Gemara calls it, Be'ito or Ba'achishana, which means that Mashiach comes because the time of Mashiach has come, or Mashiach comes because we have hastened the coming of Mashiach. I put section 7 here because it has a connection to both Perek Yud Aleph and Perek Yud Beis in the Rambam, so I basically referred to you to what I'm going to be discussing later. Section 8 is about unpleasant things that occur bringing the world closer to Mashiach, which is the end of Perek Yud Aleph and Rambam. Now, section 9 is also chapter 11. In Rambam, the idea of Mashiach as a teacher as opposed to Mashiach as a king. When we get to it, you'll understand. So, to be practical, the first 9 sections of this 14-part class is primarily Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchas Malachim, and beginning with Perek number 10, you go on to Perek chapter 12, Perek Yud Beis. The first is the times of Mashiach, whether Mashiach comes naturally or supernaturally. That's number 10. Number 11 is the sequence of events when Mashiach comes, which the Rambam talks about a little bit. And 12 is things that happen after Mashiach. And 13 is what Mashiach is for, why Yidden want Mashiach. And section 14 is Yemesa Mashiach. Once Mashiach comes, what does the world look like? Those are the topics that we're going to be exploring. And like I said, this is really a series of classes on the Rambam's Mashiach. That's the design, that's the structure, that's the spirit of these classes. So now that I sort of told you what we're going to be discussing, which meant basically I read from the pamphlets that you already have, what you have in front of you, let me say this. the uniqueness of the Mashiach, as it's discussed in Rambam, is that it's halacha. In other words, Mashiach can be understood in many ways. Mashiach can be understood Alpi Chassidus, Mashiach can be understood Alpi Musar. The design of these classes is to understand Mashiach in the context of halacha. How Mashiach is a din in Torah, and it applies to Shulchan Aruch, because that's exactly what the Rambam is. The Rambam is a Shulchan Aruch. And it discusses every aspect of Mashiach as it relates to halacha. Which means it describes what's the halacha of wanting Mashiach. It describes what's the halacha of the personality of Mashiach. It describes what's the halacha of what Mashiach needs to do. So certainly there's a lot of ideas of Kabbalah and Chassidus and Musar that are also a part of what Mashiach needs to do, but that's not our topic. We're not dealing with the theological Mashiach or the metaphysical Mashiach or the mystical Mashiach. We're dealing with the halachic Mashiach, with Mashiach as he's found in the Rambam. And the Rebbe devoted so much time to this. In general, we all know that the Rebbe had an incredible passion for Rambam. There are very few areas of Torah that the Rebbe dedicated as much time and effort to as explaining Rambams. There's actually a quote, a wonderful quote from the Rebbe, where the Rebbe once said to Bel Yunik Olav HaSholem, "Mein inyan es faren firin ashver in Rambam." My purpose on this earth is to resolve difficult Rambams. And over the course of the Rebbe's Nesiyas, the Rebbe explained hundreds of Rambams, and of course many of them are edited in Likutei Sichas. The material that's included in this handout is all from edited Mugadiki Sichas, edited Sichas, either from Likutei Sichas or from the Sichas that the Rebbe said when he made Siyumei HaRambam, where the Rebbe explains Hilchas Mashiach. There is so much material from the Rebbe on these two Prakim and Rambam. There's so much material from the Rebbe on Mashiach that it's almost as if the Rebbe wrote a running commentary on the Rambam. In other words, every word in the Rambam, Perikid Alf and Perikid Beis of Hilchas Malachim, the Rebbe has a sicha on. And the Rebbe enriches the Rambam in an incredible way. He doesn't, forgive me for using this word, he doesn't chassidus-fy the Rambam. His intent is not to make the Rambam into chassidus. To the contrary, his intent is to show how the Rambam thinks in halacha and how understanding the halachic Mashiach, first of all, it makes Mashiach very logical. It makes sense. It's very realistic. It's very down to earth. It's also very practical. And it reveals a dimension of Mashiach which resonates with you. It makes sense. You understand it all, and you understand also the idea that Mashiach is a halacha and a din. Mashiach is not just a prophecy that the Eibishter promised that at the end of time there's going to be redemption, but rather Mashiach has to do with Yiddishkeit, Mashiach has to do with Torah, Mashiach has to do with mitzvahs, Mashiach has to do with the purpose of creation, and so on. All of these things become clear when you learn Rambam from a perspective of halach. So we begin with the first section, and of course the framework of the classes is going to be the readings. I'm going to read the many different readings that we included in this little pamphlet and explain them. Some of them are direct quotes from Rambam, other of them are direct quotes from Sichas, and there are a couple of quotes from other sources as well, Mamad Chazal and other things like that. But it's mostly Rambam and Sichas. And if you have anything to say, please type it, and I will attempt to respond. I see a person has his hand raised. Esti has her hand raised. If you want to say something, Esti, type it, and I'll read it, and I'll either respond or ignore it. Those are my choices. Okay, so here we go. We're going to start from the very, very beginning. The first thing that we're going to be discussing is the halacha that a person is expected to want Mashiach and wait for Mashiach. So let me give a very, very short introduction. We have Yud Gimel Ikrim. We have 13 principles of faith. That's the Rambam's opinion, that there are 13 things that a Jew must believe. I believe that part of what we did last year, or what we did last year, was some of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. The 13 principles of faith that the Rambam gives us really comes down to three basic principles. It's three that sort of stretched into 13. The first is about Hashem. The first five of the 13 principles of faith deal with God. You have to believe that Hashem exists, and that Hashem is one, and that Hashem has no body, and that Hashem is free, and only to Him you should daven, and so forth and so on. The second grouping of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is revelation, prophecy, the idea that Hashem speaks to people, and that Hashem raises people up to be worthy of becoming prophets, and then of course that Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu Davi Kol HaNaviim, and that the Torah will never change. So the middle grouping of the 13 principles of faith has to do with communication between God and man. And the third grouping of principles is called, in the words of the Ramban, Gmul. Gmul means consequence, Gmul means reward, Gmul means after effect. And there are four principles. The last four principles deal with Gmul. Hashem knows our actions, we're all going to have to give an accounting. And of course the last two of the 13 principles of faith are Mashiach and Tchias HaMeis. Now the meaning of the word Ikar, the meaning of a principle, is that you can't be a Jew without believing these things, right? Ikrim means they have to come first. Before I can be a religious Jew, I have to believe these things. So if I'm going to keep Shabbos, and I'm going to learn Torah, and I'm going to light Shabbos candles, I'm going to separate challah, and all those other things, I have to first believe 13 things. For example, I have to believe in Hashem. I have to believe that Hashem is free, and that Hashem is powerful, that Hashem can influence my life, that when I talk to Hashem, He listens, and things of this sort. If I don't believe in those things, Yiddishkeit has no value. Similarly, I have to believe that Hashem talks to man. Okay, min nabi es b'nei ha'adam. God gave prophecy to man, God gave prophecy to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Torah is Emes, and the Torah never changes. The point of what I just said is that the Yud Gimel Ikrim are beliefs that affect my practical life. If I don't believe those things, I can't be from. If I don't believe in Hashem, if I don't believe in Nevuah, if I don't believe in Torah, if I don't believe in the timelessness of Torah, my Yiddishkeit has no meaning and has no value, because if I don't really believe it's true, then it's not real. What about the last four? The last four, which we call Gmul, and again, the translation of Gmul in English is consequence. If I don't believe in free will, I have this idea that free will is not one of the 13 principles of faith, because it comes before the 13 principles of faith. If I don't believe that Hashem knows what I'm doing, Hashem doesn't know what's happening on earth, if I don't believe that one day I'm going to have to give an account for the way I live my life, then Torah mitzvahs has no value. But what happens if I don't believe in Mashiach? If a person doesn't believe in Mashiach, his Shabbos isn't Shabbos, his kosher isn't kosher, his film isn't film. Why is it so important that I have to believe that Mashiach is coming? And of course, this question is even stronger when it comes to the question of Tchias HaMeisim. If I don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, there's something wrong with my Yiddishkeit. I must believe in Tchias HaMeisim for me to keep Shabbos and kosher and tefillin and challah and so on in a legitimate way. These are questions that the Rebbe addresses in his sichas. Now, you will see later on why believing in Mashiach has to do with Torah and mitzvahs. My being a frum yid today, before Mashiach comes, requires that I believe in Mashiach. This is an idea which will become very apparent as this series unfolds. But in the meantime, it's very important that we say this. If a person says, I believe in Hashem and therefore I'm frum, or I don't believe in Hashem or I'm frum anyway, that belief has a practical effect on their lives. If I believe in Hashem and I practice Torah and mitzvahs, then I'm worshipping Hashem. If I don't believe in Hashem and I'm practicing Torah and mitzvahs, I believe in myself and my own intelligence and my own choices and so on. So believing in Hashem affects b'poel mamish actually how I do Torah and mitzvahs. Similarly, if I believe in prophecy, then I believe when I'm doing a mitzvah and learning Torah, I'm doing what the Eibishter told me to do. If I don't believe in prophecy and I choose to do what Hashem told me to do, then like I said earlier, I'm worshipping myself, I'm not worshipping Him. Now what happens if I believe in Mashiach? I do believe in Mashiach, I don't believe in Mashiach, what practical difference does it make? So of course the answer to that question in part is what the Rambam says in reading 1. I'm going to translate contextually. It's not enough to believe in Mashiach. It's important for me to wait for Mashiach. Believing in Mashiach costs nothing. If I do believe in Mashiach or I don't believe in Mashiach, doesn't have any practical effect on my life, because keeping Torah and mitzvahs is not changed by whether or not I believe in Mashiach. So what value, what cost, what price is there for believing in Mashiach? And therefore the Rambam says, believing in Mashiach is not enough, you have to be mechakel l'v'yasei. In other words, the proof that Mashiach is part of your emunah paradigm. And you'll see later why that's important. But the proof that Mashiach is a part of my emunah paradigm is that I wait for him. I need him. I miss him. If a person believes in Mashiach but has an attitude of, like the Rebbe said by Fabrengen once, Mashiach hasn't come for 1900 years, so maybe he won't come for another 1900 years. If you believe in Mashiach, and the belief in Mashiach doesn't translate into wanting Mashiach, aching Mashiach, missing Mashiach, then you don't really believe in him. And this is why it's important for the Rambam to say, Maimin boy is not enough. Believing that Mashiach will come one day is not enough. There has to be Mechakev, because I have to wait, I have to believe that Mashiach is coming now, and that waiting for Mashiach is the teeth, is the credibility, is the practical aspect, at least in part, of what it means to believe in Mashiach. So the Rambam therefore says, you have to be Maimin boy, and you have to be Mechakev l'biyasei. You have to believe in him, and you have to wait for him. When it comes to Mashiach, Mashiach has to be the kind of thing which is part of what I look forward to in my daily life. It's a requirement. Just like it's a requirement to daven, it's a requirement to want Mashiach. And if you don't believe that, in other words, if I believe in Mashiach, but Mashiach will come tomorrow, next week, next year, next decade, says the Rambam, Lo Bishan Nevi'im Hu Kaifa, that person is not only denying the other prophets, Ela B'Teira B'Meshar Abeinu, he's denying Teira and Meshar Abeinu. It is axiomatic to being a religious Jew that there are faith principles that underscore, that are the foundation of my daily living as a Jew, and one of those things is I need Mashiach, I miss Mashiach. How is that relevant to my daily performance of Torah and mitzvahs, you'll see later, but in the meantime we're simply discussing this aspect of it, that I need to want Mashiach. So to support this, we have, of course, the famous Sikh of the Rebbe, which in some place else in Rambam. The next quote is from Rambam Hilchas Parah Aduma. The Rambam is discussing Parah Aduma, and the Rambam says, Teisha Paris Adumas Nasu, there have so far been 9 Paris Aduma. There's a Mishnah Mesechta Parah which brings 2 opinions, whether there were 7 or there were 9. The Rambam paskins that there were 9, and then the Rambam finishes by saying, V'asidas Yasa Melech HaMashiach, the 10th is going to be done by Melech HaMashiach. And then the Rambam concludes, Amen, which is an affirmation, and then he says, Tfilah kein yihi ratzon, and so should be the will of HaKadosh Baruch. So the Rebbe, of course, immediately analyzes this Rambam and asks the classic Rambam question. We know that Rambam is the Sefer of Halacha. Rambam teaches us law. And if Rambam is teaching us law, we need to know what we need to do. What's going to happen is not our business. What the future holds is none of our business. So why does the Rambam tell us that the future is going to be that Mashiach will make the 10th Parah Aduma? And more importantly, why does he add the words Amen Ken Yehi Ratzon? So the Rebbe says that the Rambam is teaching us Halacha. And let's do the next 2 readings. Shem V'Darinyan Amun B'Bias HaMashiach is Inyan Tmidi. Believing in Mashiach is constant. It's one of the 13 principles of faith, which means everybody always has to believe in Mashiach. Al derech zeh is the chiyuv on mechake lebiyasei a chiyuv tmidi. It is also a constant obligation to want Mashiach. A yid has a chiyuv. We have an obligation to want Mashiach. It's not enough to believe in Mashiach. We have to desire Mashiach. We have to want Mashiach. And I'm going to throw in a little thought here, which may not be that meaningful to you, but I think it's meaningful to a lot of people. When I say a lot of people, I mean non-Lubavitcher Chassidim. Right after Gimel Tammuz, Tavshin and Dalet, 22 years ago plus, there was a meeting of Moetzes Gedalia Teira in Yerushalayim. That means the big rabbis of Agudas Yisrael got together. And of course, the Rebbe was brought up. It was the week of Gimel Tammuz. And the person who spoke about the Rebbe was the then Gedalia Rebbe, Pinchas Menachem Alter. He made a short little talk about the Rebbe. He spoke about the Rebbe and the loss of the Rebbe and so on. And he said one thing. He didn't speak long. The one thing he said in that little talk was, quote, the Rebbe took Mashiach out of the deep freeze. That was the one specific point that he brought out. The Rebbe took Mashiach out of the deep freeze. Now, if you could remember 22 years ago, you recall that Mashiach was a very controversial thing. And a lot of people were made very nervous by the mention, what they used to call in those days, the M word. And here, Anan Lubavitcher, the Geder Rebbe, gets up at the meeting of Meitzel Gedalia HaTorah, and the one comment he made about the Rebbe is that he took Mashiach out of the deep freeze. I felt that this comment says more about the Geder Rebbe than it says about the Rebbe. Because what this comment means was that he wasn't thrown off, he wasn't turned off by the fact that the Rebbe talked about Mashiach so much. To the contrary, he said, there's something wrong with many Frum Yidden. How can you be a Frum Yid and it's not part of what's important to you to wait for Mashiach? The idea that you can be completely Frum and Mashiach is an idea that's someplace in the background. Mashiach is just a wonderful dream that's going to come at the end of time. To be very blunt, is a violation of halacha. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch requires a Yid to not only believe in Mashiach, but wait for him. And this is what the Geder Rebbe was saying. The Geder Rebbe was saying to the whole world, to all the leaders of the Moed of Gedalia HaTorah, who represent different communities and so on, the Rebbe didn't only think of Mashiach as an idea, the Rebbe thought of Mashiach as a halacha. You have to want Mashiach and wait for Mashiach. He wanted Mashiach, he waited Mashiach, and he made all of us uncomfortable enough that we should also want and wait for Mashiach. And that's what the Rebbe says in the Sikha. That believing in Mashiach doesn't cost anything. And if it doesn't cost anything, it has no value. The halacha is you have to be mechakel of Yaseh. That's the din. And I'm reading on, I'm going back to the text. Ayir da ständig hoffen und warten auf Mashiach. A Jew must always hope and wait for Mashiach. And this is a halacha. It's a legal requirement. Wanting Mashiach is no different than benching licht on time. Wanting Mashiach is no different than davening shachar and mincha. It's a din. And the Rebbe says, der inyan for mechakel lebiyaseh, the notion of wanting Mashiach is a hergish. It's a feeling, right? This, what do you do to want Mashiach? It's like, what do you do to believe in Mashiach? What you do to want Mashiach is have a place in your heart where you feel the idea of Mashiach and you feel the void of Mashiach and you feel the want to fill that void, but a yid feels, that a Jew feels. Erkenet haben kein Shleimus b'li Mashiach. A Jew feels that he doesn't have Shleimus until Mashiach comes. On dem is er achoser. Without this, he is lacking. And again, what he's lacking, you'll see later on in Mitzvah Hashem. But at the moment, what's important is understanding that there's a requirement to want Mashiach. Und der fünfte statement concludes the Rebbe. Since the halacha says that it's not enough to be maimon bei, you also have to be mechakel lebiyasi, you have to wait for him. We therefore understood. Abishas einer der mont an inyan b'shaiches haMashiach. That any time Mashiach comes up in a conversation, afilu as is b'derech agav, even it comes up tangentially, incidentally, kenedos nitzfar b'ayin, he can't let it pass. Mashiach is a part of conversation. People bring up Mashiach all the time. So the Rebbe says, if a yid is being mekayim this halacha of not only believing in Mashiach but wanting Mashiach and waiting Mashiach, any time Mashiach comes up in conversation, even if it's entirely tangential, even if it's totally incidental, he can't let it pass. Ve'tesorche, it becomes a need that he has, because Mashiach is a need we always have. Each time Mashiach comes up in a conversation, you're reminded again of the fact that you have this need, and therefore the Rebbe says, "Dafer mispalel zayin ifmili chesreinei." He becomes obligated halacha kitadavim for his lack. If Mashiach is something we want, anytime Mashiach comes up in conversation, the halacha says you have to stop what you're doing and daven for Mashiach. And then the Rebbe says in the second paragraph of that meeting, "Undas es kavanas Rambam." It's exactly the Rambam's point. Areinstellen Shaloibim Koima. The Rambam puts into the Rambam a tefillah, a prayer, in the wrong place. Right? The Rebbe always pointed out that the Rambam is a sefer of halachas halachas. The Rambam teaches us dinim. Every word of Rambam is a din. All of a sudden, in the middle of Rambam, There's a tefillah. Rambam is davening. Meheira yigala amen ken yiratzen. There's a tefillah. So the Rebbe's question is, number one, why is Rambam putting tefillahs into Sefer HaRambam? It's not his purpose. And number two, if the Rambam wants to put a tefillah into Sefer HaRambam, let him put it where it belongs. In Hilchas Mashiach, says the Rebbe, no. The Rambam, by design, puts the tefillah for Mashiach in a place where Mashiach's mention is incidental. Shalevim came. Madgish HaHalach, he's teaching us a din. The way one must wait for Mashiach. As a filu van der inyan for Mashiach kumt aroif b'derech agav, even if the discussion of Mashiach emerges incidentally, as an aside, daf es gleich aroif lefen ba'ayidin at filu. It must immediately arouse within a Jew a prayer, meheira yigali amen ke yiratzen, he should quickly be revealed. And then you say, amen, ken yiratzen, you attach it to a tefillah and a wish and a hope. So this is the first theme that we wish to explore in this series. The fact that wanting Mashiach is a halacha. And there's only one way that the Rambam could teach us this halacha, by putting it in the wrong place. The Rambam puts into the Hilchas Parah Aduma a tefillah to teach us that this is how a Yid is supposed to live his life. A person cannot pass by Mashiach without saying, I want Mashiach to come now. Why? Because it's a chiyuv. If a Yid is seriously the way a Yid is supposed to be, so of course he has Mashiach in his heart. And if he has Mashiach in his heart, he misses Mashiach. And if he misses Mashiach, he davens for him at every turn. So as it turns out, the Rambam's incidental mention of Mashiach in Hilchis Paraduma is a new halacha. That you can't pass an opportunity up when you're talking about Mashiach and not ask for him. This is the conclusion of section 1, Mechakel B'Yaseh 2, the idea that a Yid is not only supposed to believe in Mashiach, but wait for Mashiach. If anybody wants to send me a message or a question, now's a good time. I'll give you a half a minute, or a half a second, as it were. Otherwise, I'm going to move on to the second section. So here we go. As I mentioned in the beginning, there are two ideas that converge in the language of Lubavitch. These are part of the Rebbe's language, part of the Rebbe's lexicon, which has a consequence become our language. And my intent is to separate them, to dafke show that these are two separate ideas. And the two terms are Geula and Mashiach, or Mashiach and Geula. The difference between Geula and Mashiach, or Mashiach and Geula, and the Rebbe would sometimes use this expression, the Rebbe would sometimes use the other expression, is that Mashiach is a person, and Geula is an idea. Mashiach is an individual man who's a redeemer. He redeems us. Geula is the phenomenon of redemption. And in Torah, and I guess on some level even in Halacha, they're two separate things. Even though, as it works out, there's no Mashiach without Geula, there's no Geula without Mashiach, because they're one and the same. But Mashiach is about the personality, about the individual man and his role and his function. And Geula is about what happens to the world. So, when you learn Rambam, Hilchas Malachim, Pei Kedav Halacha Aleph, the Rambam introduces us to Mashiach. He explains to us what Mashiach is. We're going to have lengthy discussions about Mashiach when we get to section 3, which is the next section after this one. When the Rambam introduces us to the concept of Mashiach, the Rambam says that in Tanakh, in Neviim and Ksuvim, there is so much messianic allusion, there's so many references to Mashiach, that the Rambam is saying, in effect, if I would begin to reference all the allusions to Mashiach in Neviim and Ksuvim, I'd have to write a book. The Rambam says a lashon that b'divrei haNeviim ein hadavar tzarech raya. If you talk about the Neviim and the Ksuvim, there's no need to bring proof from Mashiach, because kol hasfarim meleim midavzeh. Neviim and Ksuvim are packed full of references to Mashiach. But the Rambam feels the need to bring rayas from Chumash. In other words, the implication is that Nevi'im and Ksuvim give us many, many, many allusions to Mashiach that there's no need for the Rambam to point them out. Anybody can find them themselves. But proofs from Mashiach, from the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, are harder to come by. And because proof from Chamisha Chumshei Torah are harder to come by, Rambam says, I'm going to bring a proof. But the Rambam doesn't bring one. The Rambam doesn't bring two. The Rambam brings three. And so many of the Rebbe's Sichas are addressing why the Rambam has to bring us three proofs from Mashiach. And basically the reason that Rambam brings us three proofs from Mashiach is because each one of these proofs emphasizes a different aspect. And the first is Geula, which is reading Aleph of section 2. It's a pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, and I'm reading it inside, V'shom havaya lekecha, V'shom havaya lekecha, Shemuscha Hashem will return your captives, v'nichamecha, he will show you mercy, he will show you compassion, v'shavan, he will return, v'kibetzcha, and he will collect you, mikol ha'amim, from amongst all of the nations. Im yihi yenidachcha b'ktei ha'shamayim, even if you are pushed away to the edges of the heavens, to the end of the earth, in other words, misham mikabetcha v'shem alakecha, God Almighty will collect you from there, or misham mikachech, and from there he'll bring you back. This pasuk is extremely explicit. It's a, to use yeshivish, it's a befeisha reference to Geula. It's an explicit proof to the idea of Geula. But what's missing in this pasuk absolutely is a person. This describes Hashem as being our Redeemer. Now let me give you the big picture. This is Parshas Nitzavim, which is one of four or five different places in Sefer Devarim where you have the same basic sequence. And the sequence goes like this. Moshe is talking to the Jewish people. This is Sefer Devarim. It's the last 37 days of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, and he's giving them Musar. The Musar involves the past, and the Musar very, very much also involves the future. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, I'm going to pass away, the generation is going to pass away, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to build a Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to forget. And he warns the Jewish people about forgetting who they are and where they come from, and so on and so forth. So you'll have sequences of psukim that will say, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, you're going to build Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to become rich, you're going to become successful, you're going to make money, you're going to harvest the produce of Eretz Yisrael. And as the pasuk says, Shamanta Avisa Kasisa, as you get comfortable and as you get rich, you start forgetting Hashem. What happens after forgetting Hashem? Hashem corrects. Hashem reminds us of His presence. How does Hashem correct? How does Hashem remind us? Tzaris. Challenges, nisyonos, that it's not so good anymore. We're attacked from goyim, we go through hardships, and so on and so forth. And the way the sequence of the psukim goes in each case, we don't respond. Life gets hard and we become more busy with ourselves, so eventually the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Rachman al-Islan, and the Jewish people are exiled. And life gets very difficult, becomes impossibly difficult. What happens to the Jewish people when life becomes impossibly difficult? They turn to Hashem. They do tshuva, they come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth. Meaning to say, when life was good, we forgot God, so life become very difficult, and all of a sudden we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do tshuva, and then comes this pasuk. V'shav Hashem alakech, Shmuscha Hashem brings us back. In other words, the cycle of life of the Jewish people is, and of course Mashiach is the last cycle, it happens in a way that it never repeats itself, that the Jewish people get so many matanas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, life is so wonderful, we start to say, we forget that we're the nation of God, we forget that our existence has to reflect the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we misbehave, and Hashem has a bris, has a covenant with us, which doesn't allow us to misbehave, so He tries to correct us, and when we don't get the message, He kicks us out of Eretz Yisrael, and then we get the message, we do tshuva, and Mashiach comes. No pasuk in Chumash is more explicit in describing what we call Geula. That means Yidden come back to Eretz Yisrael, build a Beis HaMikdash, and resettle Eretz Yisrael than this pasuk. And in this pasuk, the Eibishter Himself is the Redeemer. So if you look at reading Beis, it's a quote from Masicha. It's a little bit of a quote from Masicha, and the entire point of this quote again is to speak about Geula as something separate from Mashiach. Noisef alachiev lahamin beklolos in yinagiyula. There is an idea of believing in the idea of Geula in general. Shaakadish baruch hu asad ligil es Yisrael, that Hashem Himself will redeem the Jewish people ve'ez eifin shehu in some particular way. Now you'll see, I gave you the page number in the Kutasichas, so you can look it up and see for yourself. The point is, Mashiach is one thing, and Geula is another thing. Mashiach is an advanced idea, because Mashiach is an individual man. He's one person who, by the Eibishter's plan, by the Eibishter's design, ushers in the Messianic time, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who redeemed the Jewish people in the beginning of time. Mashiach is an individual man. He's one person, a physical human being, a neshama v'guf, that redeems the Jewish people. Says the Rebbe, but before you get to the Goyel, before you get to the idea of Mashiach, there's something basic, fundamental, that you have to know. First of all, and that is that the Eibishter redeems us. And that's the theme of Geula as separate from Mashiach. Now, just to make my point, I have three controversial quotes. Quotes Gimel, Dalad, and Hay are there just for the purposes of provocation. In other words, because Gimel and Dalad are non-halachic. Gimel is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And Dalad is Rashi on that Gemara. Okay, you may not be familiar with this Gemara, because we're not into this Gemara, but I just wanted you to see it inside, to underscore, to emphasize, to prioritize as much as I possibly could, the separation of the theme of Geula from the theme of Mashiach. So reading Gimel says, quote, Ein la Mashiach li Yisrael, shekvar achlu b'mei chizkiyot. This is an amoyer named Reb Hillel, Omer Reb Hillel. Reb Hillel says, Yid no longer have Mashiach. We ate up Mashiach and Chizkiyot. Chizkiyot was a physical king that Chazal say was worthy of being Mashiach. He wasn't Mashiach for whatever reasons. Reb Hillel is of the opinion that there's no Mashiach. Finished. Now what does that mean, there's no Mashiach? It's axiomatic. It's one of the Gimel Ikri HaMunah. Like I discussed earlier, that there's a need for Mashiach. According to Reb Hillel, there's no Mashiach, but it doesn't mean we don't have that principle of faith. It's rather, look at reading Dalad now, and this is the Rashi on that Gemara, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yimlech Ba'atzmi V'Yigolim Levadei. Hashem will king alone and redeem us. So what these two quotes show is that Mashiach and Geula are not synonyms. They're two different things. Mashiach is the person that brings the Geula. The Geula is a very basic part of Yiddishkeit. Although the halacha is that Mashiach and Geula do come together, it's important intellectually to separate between the theme of Geula and the theme of Mashiach. And this is where you get to reading 5. This is the Chasam Sefer that the Rebbe brings in the Sichas, quote, L'Rab Hillel yesh Geula ala she'ein Mashiach melech. Rab Hillel is of the opinion that there's going to be a Geula, but there's no Mashiach who acts as a king. And the Chasam Sefer says very strongly, V'gam bazel leis hilchus hakavasei, the halacha is not like Reb Hillel. And of course, the simple proof that halacha is not like Reb Hillel is the Rambam. The Rambam is the only compiler of halacha and Mashiach, and the Rambam makes it absolutely clear that HaMelech HaMashiach Asad Lamed, that King Mashiach comes. But even though the Rambam holds that the Geula happens through Mashiach, the Rambam brings two separate psukim to make the point in part that although Geula happens through Mashiach, in Torah there are two concepts. There's an explicit pasuk in Torah which describes Geula as coming directly from Hashem. Hashem is the Goyel. Hashem is the Redeemer. In Halacha, the Geula happens through Mashiach, but the two separate ideas. And the Chasam Sefer concludes, and I'm reading the end of that reading, V'ha'omer ein Mashiach, if you believe in Geula and you don't believe in Mashiach, you're an apokatus. As they pass on the Chasam Sefer, this is very strong. I don't want to create unnecessary controversy, but if you've ever met, and you probably meet these people much more than I do because you're out in the field, the conservative movement, particularly the right-wing conservative movement that officially believes in Teresh B'Ksava, not Teresh, but whatever their beliefs are, if you ever met a conservative rabbi who knows his stuff, he will say to you, I believe in a messianic era, I don't believe in a messiah. And whatever their reasons are, but their source is this Reb Hillel. That's their source. It is an opinion in the Gemara that says there's no Mashiach, there's only a Goyel. What's bothering them that makes them decide that they can't believe in Mashiach and they can't believe in a Geula? It's politics, it's a bunch of nonsense. The fact of the matter is that the halacha is that it's not enough to believe in Mashiach, you have to also believe, pardon me, it's not enough to believe in Geula, you have to also believe in Mashiach. But it was important to me to separate them, so you should see them as two separate things. Okay? That's the end of section 2 of this series, which is a discussion on Geula. That the Eibishter promises at the end of time that he will redeem us, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, give us the whole of Eretz Yisrael so we can fulfill all of the Tayag mitzvahs in all of Eretz Yisrael by all of the Jewish people, as you will see later on. And it's one of the basic Jewish beliefs that at the end of time there is a Geula. However, as the halacha is, we believe the din is that the Geula comes along with a Goyel. It's not only that the Eibishter redeems us, the Eibishter redeems us through a man, through a person who's called HaMelech HaMashiach. Which leads us to section 3. That we believe not only that there is a time when the world is going to be improved and made better and you're not going to live in Eretz Yisrael and all the rest, but that there is actually an individual person, individual man, who ushers in that era, and that person is Mashiach. And keep in mind again, I'm turning to the next page, page 3, where you can see the beginning of the readings on Mashiach. It goes on for a little bit more than a page. That we believe in the idea of a person, that the Geula happens through Melech HaMashiach. Now, I'm going to start discussing Melech HaMashiach, but Melech HaMashiach is really going to be the topic for next week's class. What I would like to say initially is that you must bear in mind, you must remember this as we go through this series, that Mashiach as a person is a halacha. The idea that the Geula happens through a redeemer, through an individual person, is not just the way it's going to happen, it's just going to work out that way, so to speak, but rather that that's the din. Mashiach, Geula cannot come without a Goyel. It has to be a physical person who redeems the Jewish people. Just like, let's say for the sake of argument, Hashem could have spoken to the Jewish people directly and insisted on there being Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem speaks to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to us. And even if you hold, like the Pasuk says, the expression, Kol Am Hashem Nevi'im, that every Yid can be a Navi, even in a world where Kol Am Hashem Nevi'im, every Yid is a Navi, there is still a unique role for Moshe Rabbeinu as Avi Kol Nevi'im, the father of all the prophets, the beginning of all prophecy, and so on. The same is true when it comes to Geula. At the end of time, the Eibish is going to redeem the Jewish people and ultimately redeem the whole world, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael and all the rest that we'll see later on. But it's halachically required that this stage, that this era, happen not only by the hand of God, but there has to be an individual man who is called Mashiach who ushers in that era. And that's what we now begin to explore, that the Geula happens through a Goyel, and that Goyel has to be Melech HaMashiach, King Mashiach. I want to tell you a story. And I recall telling you the story last year in the other series. I'm repeating it now. It's a Poilei Shamaisa, but it's a wonderful story. The Belz Rebbes were very, very big tzaddikim. Belz had 4 Rebbes who were incredibly, incredibly great. The first Belz Rebbe is called Reb Sholem Belz and the Sar Sholem. The second, what they call in their culture, the Mitleruv. And Rabbi Shua Belz was an incredible man, because Rabbi Shua Belz, besides being a big tzaddik and all the rest, was a Lubavitcher. Rabbi Shua Belz invented outreach. Rabbi Shua Belz had an organization called Machaziki Hadas in Galicia that was for the express purpose of being Makarev Yidden who were being lost. And the Rebbe Rashab made Machaziki Hadas in Russia. And I suspect that when the Rebbe Rashab made Machaziki Hadas in Russia, he was actually modeling it after the second Belz Rebbe who had started it at an earlier time. The third Belz Rebbe was Rabbi Socha Doiv, And the last Belzer Rebbe was the holy Rav Adel Belzer, Rav Adel Belzer, Rav Adel Belzer, who was an incredible tzaddik. The Rebbe knew him, the Rebbe met him, the Rebbe spoke about him, and so on. He passed away in 1957. So the story is, all the Belzer Rebbes suffered with their eyes. They had eye trouble. Some of them were actually blind. So the second Belzer Rebbe, Rebbe Shiela Belzer, who they called the Mitleruv, traveled to Vienna to see a specialist about his eye trouble. The specialist that he met was a Jew. But he was a Viennese Jew, that means he was very natural. He was very secular. And there are many Jews today who are natural, but you cannot compare a secular Jew today to a secular Jew in the 1890s, which is 125 years ago. Because a secular Jew 25 years ago was really an apocatus. He really denied the emes of Torah and the emes of Har Sinai and the emes of Avraham Avinu and all the rest. A secular Jew today is simply ignorant. He just doesn't know anything. He's tragically uninformed. He's uneducated. Anyway, the Belzerov met this doctor. The doctor was very nice to him. And the Belzerov had a rapport with this man. And at a certain point during their meetings, this doctor said to the Belzerov, would it be okay if he asked him a question? Which, of course, Belzerov agreed, yeah, sure. So he said to the Belzer Rebbe as follows. He says, I'm not a religious person, I'm a secular man. And I know that one of the core beliefs of the Jewish people is a belief in Mashiach. So he says, I can imagine a messianic era. In other words, I could see the world going towards perfection. I could see people, as they say in English, figuring it out and getting it right. Where people could actually, you know, figure out that war is a bad thing and killing is a bad thing and immorality is a bad thing and so on and so forth and become righteous, moral and honest and ethical and believing in God and all the rest. I could see, he could imagine a messianic era. But I can't imagine a Mashiach. In other words, the idea that one man is going to change the whole world seemed to him impossible. And this was his question to the Belzer Rebbe. I can imagine, to use the language of our conversation, I can imagine Geula, I can't imagine Mashiach. So the way the story goes, the Belzer Rebbe looked at him, with very powerful eyes, and they were so powerful that he began to shake, he began to tremble out of fear. And the Belzer Rebbe says to him, Du glaubst, you believe? And he said, Ich glaub, I believe. He showed him the power of one person, the idea that one person can change the world. He saw it, Pashat, in the power that the Belzer Rebbe displayed in his eyes. And this is the beginning of the conversation on Mashiach. Mashiach's a person, one individual man, who will literally change the world. He brings about Geula, a human being who has such incredible power and such incredible influence. And of course, this power and this influence doesn't remain hidden in a book. It's asserted, it's brought forward into the world to redeem the whole world in a series of steps, as you'll see in this sequence, beginning with the Jewish people and then Lahavul radiating towards Goyim and the whole world. But it's key to appreciate that we believe and hold that the idea of the whole world becoming a good world is what Geula means, is ushered in by a Yochid, by one person. And he is called Mashiach. And this is axiomatic to our faith. We believe in the concept of one man. And it's just like the Jewish people started their history with one man, Moshe Rabbeinu. And there needed to be Moshe Rabbeinu in between. It wasn't a technicality, it was a requirement. The same is true at the end of Jewish history. There's a need for a person, for a man named Mashiach that ushers in this entire era. So let's read reading number one. I'm going to make one point, then I'm going to discontinue. I'm going to stop. And in Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll continue. HaMelech HaMashiach HaSed Lamed, King Mashiach will in the future get up. And what will he do? U'lahachazir Malchus David LeYoshna. He will bring back the ancient kingdom of David to its earlier order. L'memshal HaRishen to its order dominion. And then it says, U'boine HaMikdash, he will build the base HaMikdash. Umekabetz nitcha Yisrael, he will gather together the dispersed and scattered Jewish people. Vechoizim kol hamishpatim biyomov. All of the judgments, all of the laws will return during his times. Kishahayu mikaidim, as they were in the past. such as makrivim by karbonos, we're going to bring karbonos, which of course offsets the foolish Jews who say that according to the Rambam there's not going to be karbonos when Mashiach comes. Here's an explicit Rambam that says makrivim karbonos. If anybody tells you that the Rambam holds that Mashiach, in the time of the Mashiach there won't be karbonos, open up Hilchas Melachim Pedig it off and show him the first lines. Makrivim karbonos, we're going to bring karbonos. The Eisim Shmita and the Yevus, we're going to do Shmita and Yevil to Chol Mitzvos Hamura Vatayda. All the mitzvahs required the Tayda. I'll go back to this next week. I just want to say one thing. What's the most important word in this quote? What's the key to this first quote? And the answer is the most important word in this quote is the word Hamelach. Because it's very, very important for the Rambam to define Mashiach. And he wants to define Mashiach in halachic terms. We have a Torah. And the Torah comes down to a Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch never changes. We're in Torah, we're in Shulchan Aruch, is Mashiach. And the answer is Melech. Mashiach is a king. We all know what a king is. Why? Because there have been many kings in our past. David the Melech was a king, Shaul the Melech was a king, Shlomo the Melech was a king. There have been kings from Malchai Yehuda, there have been kings from Malchai Yisrael, there have been all kinds of kings. And the Rambam wants you to know off the bat, Mashiach is a din in Torah because he belongs to a group of dinim, a group of people that have existed historically, namely the Melech. In other words, Mashiach is not a new idea. It's an old idea. There have been many kings. Mashiach is simply another one of those kings. Now, as it turns out, Mashiach is, of course, going to be much more successful than anybody else. But the Rambam wants us to appreciate the halachic place Mashiach has in Jewish life and in Torah life, and that is, Mashiach is a melech. Just like David was a melech, and there are dinim that define melochim, Mashiach is also a melech, and he's defined by the criteria of melech. So we're going to stop right here. If anybody wants to make any comments, please do. Good. Okay, so if you want to say something, say it, otherwise we'll call it quits.